Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel. We are remote of remote on the latest edition of No Sleep Till. Travis Ryer joined, as always, by Evan Ryer. Evan, coming to you from Logan International Airport in Boston, Mass.
Boston. As
we're going ahead and making that trip across the pond. I know you're going to be coming over next week.
Yep.
So we are en route officially, not exactly scouting out the Pats for that second of two London games, but this is where we were sent. And I know, first and foremost, though, Hurricane Milton in the state of Florida, we were fortunate to be able to kind of get out on Wednesday in advance of really everything that was happening there in our home state, and just continued to think about the folks really South Florida, Central Florida, and across the state that are going to feel the full effects of that just monstrous storm.
Yeah, it's been really tough to see because, you know, at first it's, oh, well, there's another hurricane coming. That's bad no matter what. But it seems like every way that this storm could elevate, you know, could get more intense, it has. So, just wishing the best for everybody up and through that region. And you know, obviously it's just brutal with, you know, the timing of Helene and everything else. So, trying to focus on the stuff that matters first. You know, the football's fun, but, you know, that's definitely what matters the most.
Yeah, just the survivability of storms like these, first and foremost. I know homes, businesses, all those things are very, very important, but here's to all those folks being able to find a safe place and just get through this situation and go from there. But speaking of the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Jags have coming off their first win of the 2024 campaign. It was a wild one at Everbank last Sunday. Old man Flacco putting a scare into the Jags. I think we both kind of anticipated that. Whether Anthony Richardson played or not, this is a Jaguar defense right now that is suspect at multiple levels, and Flacco and those receivers took advantage of that. 41 combined points for the two teams in the fourth quarter. Jags needed all of the 17 that they got.
Yeah, I mean, it was it's never easy, is it? And apparently, you know, dinosaur Joe Flacco, it doesn't even matter how, you know, I wanted the Jaguars defense to maybe do a little bit better than they did last year when they faced off against Flacco, and they didn't. They did worse. So, you know, it just is what it is. I'm just happy they got the W. You know, got to give full credit to Trevor Lawrence. I think first and foremost of all the names from that game that helped win that contest, you know, Trevor had the game that, you know, people have been crying for him to have. Like, I mean, he really needed something to show that, hey, you know, I can break this spell a little bit. And he did that. You know, I mean, he made big pass after big pass. His QPA or his quarterback efficiency rating was really good. Did the right thing, you know, hit his open men. And that's all we can ask for, really.
Yeah, for the second straight week, the offensive line did its job, really protected him throughout the game. He didn't do his job in Houston, not by any means, but as you said, credit to him, backing that up with a strong performance, a career high performance in some ways against the Colts last Sunday. He wasn't the only hero either. I mean, we've been clamoring, I know, for Tank Bigsby to be more involved in this offense. Yeah. And he did some great things last week, explosively finished with power. A little bit of a loose ball situation on the one touchdown, but even if it was, he was able to jump back on it. And again, give the offensive line some credit for that. Brenton Strange, another guy that seems like he's starting to stack one performance on top of the other. Trayvon Walker with three sacks. Some good stuff, really, from the last couple of draft classes in that win.
Trayvon Walker having that performance, too, was really good to see. You know, again, I don't think, you know, if you go look at those sacks, he's still what we say is, which is he has one way to beat you.
Power guy.
But if he does get that first hop on you, it's very tough to catch up. And he showed that multiple times. Shout out, I forgot who was on the call for that game, but said that Josh Hines-Allen got the game-ending sack, the TV broadcast. I was like, good Lord, guys, come on. I know we're the Jags, but you can do a little bit better. Trayvon having that game, Ventrell Miller was really solid again. I thought Devin Lloyd played really well, which was nice to see because kind of went a little anonymous over the recent weeks. And then, of course, you know, I mean, Brian Thomas Jr. didn't necessarily have a lot of, like, difficult asks. You know, a lot of his catches, all five of them really, were pretty simple, you know, straightforward. But, you know, when you have 23 mile an hour speed, you know, you can, you know, he didn't even get hit like in the over the top in the hands where you want it to be right on that touchdown pass. He has to kind of come back for it. Doesn't matter. He's gone. And that's a beautiful thing to see, because I don't know the last time the Jaguars had a receiver that just has breakaway speed like that. We've had some fast guys, but nothing like that.
Yeah, it looked like the Colts probably busted a coverage there for him to get that separation. But even with that, I've seen Jaguar receivers in that situation get run down and not finish the play in the end zone. And the biggest thing I like to see from a play like that is that it finished in the end zone, because we know the Jags in the red zone, anything but a guarantee when it comes to finishing drives. And then Christian Kirk, give him credit too. Give Trevor credit for that. You know, how many times have we talked about it here on No Sleep Till of late? You have to go out and win the football game in the fourth quarter. Now, you know, the defense kind of played into that with the collapse there in the fourth quarter. Father Flacco, as I call him, because he looks like a priest back there dealing from the pocket at this point in his career. It kind of pressed that issue for the offense. But when they needed to get it done, they did. I wasn't a big fan of basically just getting to the 30 or 31 yard line of the Colts and just saying, hey, we're good. We're good right here. We'll let the kid kick a 49 yarder. I would have liked to have seen maybe an attempt to get another 10, 15 yards. But boy, Cam Little just absolutely,
I think he hit that thing as hard as he could.
And it was as dead center as it could possibly
be. I think it was one of those things where it's like, I'm going to go through my exact motion. Like, you know, like sometimes when you're swinging a driver and you're like, I'm going to put a little oomph on this, you do end up squaring it up just because you're so focused on getting that contact. I think he did that because that thing looked like it was going to be good from 66, 67, and he didn't need that. Like, I mean, that ball was still almost over the goalpost by the time it got there. It was that was awesome. Happy for Cam Little, of course. Doug said in his post-game comments, he was like, you know, Cam Little thrives on that kind of stuff. He's a guy that likes that kind of situation. So sure, by all means, you know, if you feel good, then I guess play conservative and let him kick the 45 yarder or whatever it was. But, I'm not complaining. Very, very satisfied, to see him get the job done. I will say, to kind of pivot a little bit, there were a few guys that obviously had sinkers. Gabe Davis, rough look all around in that game. I mean, I don't even know if we have to talk about it much because he's telling Trevor to get it together. And then he's, you know, causing interceptions, dropping passes. It's not great.
It's not.
Hopefully he has a rebound.
You know
game.
What, though? He wasn't great, but I still like the exchange.
Oh, yeah,
part of me feels like they need that. Like, absolutely. They need some of that tension or some of that accountability. I mean, because there's times as a fan base, I'm sure, where Jags fans are thinking, do they even interact? Do they communicate, you know, in a situation similar to what you see from other teams? Now, you don't want it to be to a detriment, but I think that can end up being a good thing for those guys.
Well, something that I think we kind of mentioned months and months ago was that we talked about loud personalities on that offense, and really there's not many. Cam Robinson.
No.
Is kind of the only one coming into this year that you would say is got some edge, a chip on his shoulder. He likes to get, you know, he does get angry, all that stuff. So I do like seeing it from Gabe Davis. I like seeing angry runs from Tank Bigsby. You know, I like all that different stuff. But yeah, he still had a stinker. That was a rough game for him. And then simultaneously, I am hitting, you know, red flag territory with Antonio Johnson. I don't know.
The safeties in general. Safeties. I mean, Cisco
had a really rough game too, but like there were a couple times with Antonio Johnson that were like, dude, if you make a below average play, they don't pick up a first down. Like on a tackle or whatever.
Yeah.
And he would just let the guy skate right by him. And
And
I mean, the whole DB group is, other than Jarian Jones, is really kind of a question mark at best right now. You know, Cisco, I think that's the Cisco experience. Him kind of seeming like he was always not close enough to make the play. you know, he either is there or he's on top of a dude picking the ball off. He's kind of a feast or famine guy. You kind of have to roll with that. But with Antonio Johnson, five games into the season, I don't know what he does well, really. And then same thing with Eric Armstead. I mean, it is rough right now. Like,
I mean, feels like a retirement package maybe that Eric Armstead got from the Jags, because it hasn't been a dynamic start to his time. We'll see. Maybe he can.
Well, at the very least, you could maybe make the argument that, well, he's soaking up pressure or soaking up attention and
drawing double teams.
But Josh Allen isn't succeeding either. So, like, right. It's not like Devon Hamilton has got three sacks on the year or something. Like, you know, I'm wondering where that works out. So,
in terms of a disappointment, right, for this season to date, it'd be hard not to start with the front on defense. And that's even after Trayvon's performance last week.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they're going to have a tough ask, a tall order. The Bears offensive line, as we kind of look forward, Bears offensive line is not great, but they've played at a pretty high level through five or six games. I mean, Caleb Williams being able to scramble, and they've kind of got a interesting running back by committee going on with Swift and Roshon Johnson and stuff. That's not going to be an easy game for the defensive line at all. I actually think that this is a game that the secondary needs, because Caleb Williams is playing well, but I don't think he's playing so well that he's going to just absolutely torch, the secondary. But still, at the end of the day, defensive line is kind of the linchpin in terms of facing the Bears.
Yeah, I'm struggling with the Bears now after – I know it was the Panthers, okay? I get that.
Yeah,
but it just kind of felt like, they might be kind of finding it at the right time with Caleb Williams. And you're right. Caleb Williams kind of guy, he can make you right even when you're wrong. Yeah. Now, he can also make you wrong when you're right.
Exactly.
If he becomes impatient and doesn't trust his protection. And so that's still probably where you want him this week. You want to get him to the point, because you're getting consistent pressure, that even when you don't, he thinks you are, and he kind of gets outside the boundaries of the offense and maybe press him into some mistakes. But he looked like that guy last week for sure, and really for the last couple of games, I would say. So when you think about this Jaguars team going to London, Evan, and the injury situation, because Devin Duvernay had the great punt return in the second half against the Colts. Unfortunately, he has a hamstring injury. We see him going on the IR. Perhaps this is when Evan Engram returns to the offense for the Jaguars. There's been good news in terms of Tyson Campbell getting into that window where he can ramp back up from his injury. So kind of a mixed bag coming out of the Colts, but I'd say if you can really start to think about having Engram and Campbell on this football team, Parker Washington, somebody like that's got to step up for Duvernay.
Yeah. I think this is Parker's job. But I don't think it's his job for good. I mean, if he goes out there and struggles, I mean, we might come back from London with a new punt returner or whatever, but, I think I trust him though. He definitely seems like a good choice if you don't have Duvernay. If they get Engram back for this weekend and then potentially maybe have Campbell back, I don't think they would bring Campbell back while they're in London. Just, it's not routine, when you're over there. I mean, I know we go over there a lot every year, but I could see a situation where they wait until they get back stateside before activating him fully. But if you can get Engram back, that goes a long way, especially when we mentioned that, Gabe Davis hasn't exactly been a spark. Maybe Engram can be that guy instead. Against a Bears secondary that is very, very good, you need all the offensive weapons you can get. Like anybody, every single player is kind of going to be in a position where they're being asked a lot of themselves.
Yeah, you think about it. If Engram's back, do you go more two tight ends with Strange and Engram?
I think
Kirk and Thomas as the wide receivers, and less Gabe Davis and three wide receiver sets? Is that – I think that's something you consider more so than even just – Engram being back, but the way Strange has played of late.
Well, so I think you have to do, I think it works. It's cooperative in many ways, I guess. It's cohesive. because Strange is looking like a serious player right now. He blocks really well. He's making big catches. You know, he's getting open. This is all great news. Evan Engram, when he's able to go, we know what he can do. Christian Kirk is finding it. Brian Thomas is finding it. I think those are the weapons you want out there that's not your running back, whether it's ETN or Bigsby. And on top of that, you know, I think part of the reason why Trevor finally had a big game yesterday is it's, you know, not trying to take away from some of his throws, but he faced very little pressure in that game. He was not having to hurry up his motions. He wasn't having to, you know, not consistently anyways. He had some time to be able to find dudes and let plays develop, let those crossers run out. So for me personally, I'd love two tight ends in there. I'd love to have more options when it comes to protecting the quarterback.
Yeah, the Colts not very good on defense. I mean, I don't want to rain on anyone's parade too much because you needed a win. Look, the Browns aren't worth a damn, and you lost to them at home. So you take any win any way you can get it. But, yeah, I think the challenge definitely ramps up this Sunday in the form of the Chicago Bears, at least across the board. You know, Caleb's kind of the wild card. Maybe he continues to play well, and he's really tough to deal with. Maybe he throws it to you two or three times. Flacco last week, whatever you thought of him at this point in his career, I think he was going to be the tougher challenge than Anthony Richardson because the way that the Jags defense is set up right now, still with those receivers, even without Jonathan Taylor, with a guy like Flacco at the trigger, could really expose some of this secondary issues that the Jaguars have. And I know, you know, we've been very, very complimentary of Buster Brown. It wasn't his best game either last week. So, you know, you think about the weapons that the Bears have, if Keenan Allen's healthy, to go along with the other guys, to me, it's a tougher challenge this week.
Absolutely. This is a Bears team that even if they, I mean, they've shown it, you know, if you go through their schedule, their wins this year, they curb stomped the Panthers as they should have, but they beat a pretty solid Rams team in a kind of a more defensive focus game as they did against the Titans when they came back from, you know, being down what, 17-0 or 17-3. So this is a team with fight and already, you know, kind of believing in this rookie quarterback who, you know, has played to middling results. I wouldn't say he's been amazing or he's been, you know, bad. It's somewhere in between about what you expect out of a rookie. But they've kind of seen a resurgence from DeAndre Swift. You know, that dude needed kind of a pick-me-up after the past 2 or 3 years in his career. He's kind of got it right now in Chicago. And then also DJ Moore is playing at his best that, you know, basically you've seen him. So, you know, Monteric Brown and Jarian Jones are going to have a big ask with those dudes because, you know, whoever's not covering DJ Moore, you either get your pick of Keenan Allen, who, you know, is a wily veteran, a guy who knows how to get open, or Rome Odunze, who, you know, is a very talented young guy. So it's a tough ask. I mean, really, I feel like that Bears offense is going to live and die by Caleb Williams. You know, if he causes 2 turnovers, then I think the Jags probably have a good chance. But the Jags, in terms of forcing turnovers, not that good at it. I mean, they finally got a sack fumble last week.
Yeah, but, huge, I mean, when they got it, too.
They don't have an interception to their name right now. So you can talk about Caleb Williams throwing picks, but, you know, who on the Jags is going to cut the route and make the play? I'm not sure.
Well, at safety, do you go more Darnell Savage back there? Do you try that?
I think that's not a bad idea. I'd like a veteran presence, you know. I mean, not that, you know, I mean, really, it doesn't even have to do with veteran presence. Antonio Johnson, I just don't trust. I just don't trust him. And Andre Sisco hasn't, you know, provided the big plays we were seeing last year as things stand. So maybe Savage can be that guy. But, I mean, it's kind of a, you know, there's no surefire selection there.
Yeah, looking back and the benefit of hindsight, boy, Xavier McKinney might not have been a bad
he's had a huge
addition
year so far.
At the safety position. But it is what it is. And so, when you think about running back too, Ev, with Bigsby. Playing the way it hasn't been just one game either.
I know this he's been consistently more.
He's explosive. Been good.
No, I think if I had it my way, I would be giving Bigsby more handoffs. Doug shut that down in the postgame presser. He said, "No, ETN is our starting running back. Sometimes the game just goes like this, and Bigsby had a nice game," which is I don't know, felt a little,
you know, whatever. sometimes you win when you give a guy more carries, yeah. But that's just the way the game went.
It was a very coach speak quote, but it also, I don't know. I don't think he was trying to dismiss Bigsby's performance, but it didn't come off especially great. Like a lot of things he's been saying this year.
Doug's doing what he has to do though, right? Yeah, there.
He's just going through the motions. But I think, I mean, yeah, I want Bigsby to have 10 touches, bare minimum. That's got to be a given to me. I think that maybe you take something out of Chicago's playbook. They, you know, run Swift primarily, but he never has more than 12 to 13 touches. Typically, Roshon Johnson has a few catches and 6 or 7 touches. That's what I want to see out of Bigsby at the very least. Also just go with the hot hand. I don't care if it's Bigsby or ETN. They get in that game and ETN's the one picking up 9 or 10 yards a chunk, then go. Forget depth chart. Forget all that stuff. Play the hot hand. I think both of them are going to need to be really at their best. This Bears defensive line is not necessarily as legendary as the ones in years past, but it's definitely pretty good. You know, you think of Montez Sweat, think about Dexter on that line, DeMarcus Walker. ETN slipperiness could be helpful in that situation. But until Bigsby makes a big mistake, I just don't see how you're not trying to feed him more and more.
We can say all this, but you know, for most Jaguar fans, it's going to go back to Trevor. Can he back up Indianapolis with another one? And at this point in his career, that shouldn't be too much of an ask. No one's saying he needs to throw for 350 plus over the span of 6 or 7 straight weeks, but this should be a point where he's able to come with it in back-to-back weeks. And especially when you think about the Patriots a week later, and the potential to do this thing for 2 to 3 weeks before you head back to the States.
Yeah, I mean, really, he's still I think the Bears will live and die by Caleb Williams. The Jags throw the ball too much to not, like, if they were kind of like what the Chargers are trying to be right now, where the Chargers are trying to pass the ball as little as possible, like they're trying to run it with J.K. Dobbins and stuff, then I would say, oh, okay, then maybe Trevor can have a bad game and the Jags can still win this game. I don't think so right now. I think they've just, you know, for better or for worse, they've got too much on his shoulders in terms of, you know, their offensive execution. And I think this is a game that while, you know, Christian Kirk and Brian Thomas Jr., you know, they have very difficult assignments. Jalen Johnson and Tyrique Stevenson, one of the best corner duos in the NFL right now. I think this is where if you get Evan Engram back, I'd be looking at those Evan Engram props on FanDuel or whatever you're betting on, because like, I think you need to be like hitting Evan Engram. You need to be hitting Brenton Strange. You need to be checking down the Bigsby and ETN. I think this is where you can kind of pick apart the Bears defense and find some success. And that's great because Trevor doesn't have to, you know, do a lot of computing if that's what he's being asked to do. If he has to be letting, you know, routes kind of develop post downfield, all that different stuff, and hoping that Brian Thomas Jr. can get open on Jalen Johnson, then, you know.
And the protection holds up.
Yeah.
To do it. Everything.
I think, you know, you talk about having offensive minds and Doug Peterson and Bress Taylor and everybody that's involved here. This should be a game where you're able to scheme open your running backs, your tight ends, maybe, you know, short stuff with Christian Kirk. This is the kind of game that you really need to execute that as well as you possibly can.
And there's no question. I mean, Trevor's guy is Evan. So he really hasn't had him this season.
Yeah.
You know, the Miami game, it was minimal targets at best for Evan. Then he has the pregame injury in week 2, and we just really haven't seen him to this point. So, you know, I don't think Evan, obviously because of the missed games, it's going to be a production thing for him as much this season. But what I like is if he's there, you minimize the excuses that this offense doesn't produce, because whether you like it or not, in terms of how you view this offense, 90 plus catches from a guy is big. And the Jags haven't had that to this point as of yet, because in large part, because Gabe Davis hasn't been that guy either.
Yeah, no, I mean, he hasn't been what he was in Buffalo, whatever they're trying to utilize him as right now is not materializing. No, that's the thing is, I mean, how many long downfield targets has Gabe Davis even gotten this year? I mean, really, like maybe a couple, a few, and I don't think he has caught a single one of them. So I'm trying to figure out what they want to do with him, if it is supposed to be that Evan Ingram role or what. But no matter what it is, I'd rather have Evan Ingram in that role. So,
yeah, it was almost as if they didn't get a guy like Brian Thomas in the draft, then maybe they would be a little bit different offensively, right, or the ask would be different. Maybe it'd be more on Christian Kirk to be the vertical guy on a consistent basis. But when they got Brian Thomas Jr., that really changed things in terms of probably the roles and, you know, how that's going to work big picture in terms of targets for guys like Gabe Davis and Evan Ingram kind of in that same mix as well. Well, Ev, what are you thinking? A split in London, a 2-0 for the Jags in London? I guess we can get more into that next week after this game, but the Bears specifically, as we talked about, clearly the tougher matchup you would think of the two, and the Jags can get this one. You feel good about a 2-0 trip.
I'm going to say like a really ugly, like we're talking like 17-9 Jaguars win. Like maybe even 13-9 or 10, like no touchdowns.
Sounds beautiful.
I love it. Yeah, I know. But I think the Bears traveling over to London, I always think that's a factor you have to consider. Jaguars are very used to it as a team, as an organization. They know how to do it right. They even beat the Bills last year, you know, whatever. They're very good over there. I think they get that advantage. I think Caleb Williams does not play that well. And I think the Jaguars are going to make him throw the ball a lot. I think they're going to stack the line. They're going to say, we're not giving DeAndre Swift or Roshon Johnson anything. We're going to make Caleb throw it. I think Jarian Jones gets his first interception of his Jaguars career in the game tomorrow. So, that's a prediction. We'll go with a final of 17-9.
I'm worried about manning up those Bears receivers with this Jaguars secondary. But
I am too.
If you can get to Caleb and mess with him, maybe he'll throw it to you a little bit. That would be a great thing to see if you're a Jaguars fan. But I'm headed over there now. We are on the layover to London. Going to get into London early Thursday morning local time. Ev is going to be making the trek next week. So we will reunite in the UK, Ev, as we get ready for the finale of this two-game stretch.
We got to record at Buckingham Palace. So let us. Yeah. They got a studio in there.
Kind of like college game day. We'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Live on location. Yeah. That'd be awesome. All right.
Sounds good, man. Appreciate you taking the time. We'll catch up soon.
Safe travels, y'all.
So for Evan Ryer, Travis Ryer, thank you once again for joining us right here on No Sleep Teal. If you haven't subscribed to the channel, go ahead and hit that subscribe button right now. Yeah, Evan's showing you. Hit that notification bell as well. That way you'll be alerted to all of our content as it drops right here on the channel. If you don't mind a thumbs up, there you go. Thumbs up would help us tremendously also. So for Ev, Travis, thanking you once again. Till next time. So long, everybody.